From probably you have heard 100 times, but some motivation for to think about multiverse. And then the problem people are talking about, that the crisis for predictivity, which appears in this kind of eternally inflating multiverse cosmology. And then the approach I have been thinking in the series of these papers in the last year or two, which is based on, deeply based on quantum mechanics. And the message is that the quantum mechanics is important even at long distances, despite what you might naively think. Okay? So the multiverse, why we are thinking multiverse? The multiverse is motivated both observationally and theoretically, as you probably have heard. Observationally, the important thing was the law conservation constant to be close to matter, which was established in 98. And this was really surprising, and then it's a confusing thing. The first of all, of course, cosmological constant is much, 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 much smaller than naive size you expect, the Planck to the fourth or TeV to the fourth. And also, maybe more significant thing is that's very close to matter energy density now. Okay, you observe it, it's very close. Within factor two, it's in critical density unit, it's a 0.7 and 0.3. It's very close. Why? Okay, it's very confusing to understand that from fundamental theory point of view, because if this is set at the very early universe, the cosmological constant must be very, very small, because this statement is even not time independent statement, right? The matter density is diluted by 1 over scale factor cube. The cosmological constant is more or less constant. So you have to have a cosmological constant super hyper small at the early universe in such a way that the theory knows that when the human evolves and when you make a measurement in the satellite, and at that time it's just comparable, okay, within factor two. Okay? So very hard to understand why that's the case. And it's already 80s, as you probably know, the Steven Weinberg has already discussed that, also some other people. And if the emerging picture is that if there are any many regions in the universe, which you could call multiverse, but it can be many regions in a multiverse, where the effective cosmological constant, effective vacuum energy differs, it changes, then what happens in a region where cosmological constant is bigger than this? Okay? Then because cosmological constant is big, before anything happens, galaxy forms, anything happens, it's just diluted and becomes inflating, and nothing happens. You dilute gas, inflation, period. And if it's a negative and a big size, it's a big crunch before anything happens. In the simplest argument, that of course is fixing everything else. Okay? May not. Therefore, in those regions, you are simply not there. Okay? You're simply not there. You can never measure it. So if there is a many, many region with a different variable cosmological constant, okay? Now this region, you're not there. This region, you're not there. This region, you're not there. Now only if in the right region you are there and you look around, and of course you'll be confused, wow, that is crazy, okay? It's just comparable and it's very small, but it's simply you're not there, okay? And it's very hard to understand this fact, anything other than that type of, say, anthropic reasoning, because not just small, this is like a really special number at our time, okay? So now in hindsight, this kind of picture, but of course it's a big, big, big hypothesis that you have to have a many region in the universe where the cosmological constant differ, namely theory, like vacuum energy differ, and in space and that's realized. Okay? But in hindsight, this is what the theory have been telling us without us realizing it. The one is a string theory. The string theory has a six, it's called string landscape, of course. String theory has a six compact dimension. Because of that, it's a very complex system. Okay? You can have a many different complex six-dimensional compact manifold, many different the configuration and many different way, and each different configuration corresponds to different 3+1 dimensional theory because the compact space is different. So at least many different energies. So you have a potential, and many different compactification correspond to many different vacuum energy. And the way this compactification happens is, okay, in one estimate, 10^3000 or something. There's so many different cosmological constant. And now once you are in one of the vacuum, then inflation happens. And the inflation is unstoppable. In the 80s, people thought that was a problem. But no, because it's unstoppable, it happens forever. And then once this decays into some other vacuum, okay, the bubble nucleation, the bubble expand, but ambient space is expanding faster. So bubble never populate, and another bubble, all different value of cosmic constant. Most of the region you are not there, but only if the cosmic constant is small enough, you appear and then look around. God, okay, this is a crazy value. Okay? That's pretty conservative, of course, because our planet is only one of the 8 planets, our solar system is one of the, and our galaxy is only one of the many galaxies, and our universe is, of course, one of the many possible. And that's possible because of this extra dimension, which people must have thought it's a bad thing. What this crap 6 compact dimension? Okay? If the string theory predicted the 3+1 dimension, people would have been happier, I guess. But no, because of that 6 dimension, the complexity is there. You have many different possible vacua, and you can understand this phenomenon. Okay? So it looks like it's very suggestive, especially because the theory was telling us, and we thought it's bad features, and really helping to understand this experimental. That's great picture. Okay, all these are great pictures. So we kind of done. Okay, we just have many different multiverses, it's great. But it has very strange, the fundamental problem which people were suffering, in fact, already 20 years-ish, Linde and these people are really suffering. And he identified even problem, I guess. And it's a following, it's a predictivity crisis. Or called the measure problem. So what this picture is, okay? Suppose you have eternally inflating space and you decay, vacuum decay. So then a bubble nucleate, but ambient space is expanding faster. So another bubble nucleate, inside the bubble, another bubble may nucleate again. So you have a fractal structure like this in conformal diagram. Once bubble nucleates, then bubble wall expand at the speed of light. And the speed of light, I'm writing as a 45 degrees of line, okay? So it's like that. So in ambient eternally inflating space, this is a new bubble, an inside new bubble, new bubble, new bubble, new bubble, and so on. Okay? And although I'm writing these new bubbles to be small, because that's the artifact of conformal transformation. Okay? The scale factor itself is expanding like crazy, it's exponential. So these are big universe. Okay? In fact, internal guys see this as even infinite universe because time slices like that, hyperbolized. So it's like infinite Robertson, Friedman-Robertson-Walker universe. So all these universes populate and pops up. Okay? And it's big, okay? It's infrared physics. What's wrong with it? Now if you ask any probability, any event can happen. So in this eternal inflating picture, it's a great word from Alan Guth, is that in eternal inflation, anything can happen, will happen. In fact, it will happen infinitely many times because it's infinitely repeating. Infinitely many times it's repeating. So any probability of things to happen, then it happens infinitely many times. Suppose you throw in a chalk and then land here or land there. You are throwing a chalk. That configuration, you are throwing a chalk, is happening infinitely many times because our SU3 cross SU2 cross U1 bubble forms many times and infinitely many times. If you wait enough, then you have infinitely many U, and then you're throwing a chalk, and sometimes it's land here, sometimes around there in this space-time. Okay? So if you want to calculate the relative probability of any event A happens and any event B happens, then you probably how to define relative probability with some event A happens, some event B happens. It's a number of times A happens in space-time, it's a frequency sense. Event B happens in space-time, you divide. Okay, that's relative probability. Great, it's just relative probability. How many times A happens in space-time, infinitely, eternally inflating? Okay. How many times B happens? So infinitely many times, undefined. Okay. I hope you won't conclude this is the relative probability is one. It's not the case. It's really undefined. Okay? So, okay, great. But people say, okay, it's, yeah.
Questions internal to the future, but not past.
Yeah. Yes. So
at any given time,
it's finite. Yes. Yeah. So what people say, okay, so infinity happens, but infinity happens in quantum field theory as well. What we do the regularization, we cut off, and do the calculation procedure. So let's say, because infinity happens in infinity future, right? Okay. Of course, time is, of course, time you have to specify by physical configuration. But if you accept like a global time, then you can cut off some time t cutoff, and then you count the number of times A happens before the cutoff, and number of times B happens before the cutoff. Both are finite. You take a ratio, you get the finite answer. After that, okay, calculation, you just send the cutoff to be infinity here. Okay, this is a regularization. Yep. Yeah, it's assumption. Yeah, of course. Otherwise, it doesn't fit to our universe.
So there,
yeah.
Why isn't it?
Oh, but usually the decay rate is exponential of action. So it's usually huge. Okay. So, okay. So this is what you would naively think. Okay, of course, you just introduce a cutoff, you get the final answer, then extend the cutoff to infinity. But the problem is that, of course, what is an equal time? In general relativity, even spatially separated beyond the horizon, what's equal time? Okay? And if you have a great symmetry, like a pure Dossiter space, you have a great slice, like a slice where the symmetry is enhanced. But here it's a fractal, it's a very, very complicated space-time. What's equal time? You can't define. Of course, you can define in your own prescription, but there is no natural slice. And in fact, you can show that if you change this cutoff, your answer changes. All right? Of course, because you have A and B. You do Kramer, okay, and then send the infinity. You get the answer, whatever you want. Okay? So what people have been arguing this major problem, the first problem is infinity. But infinity itself is not that strong problem because you may have some prescription to take care, but this arbitrariness, okay? To deal with the infinity, the prediction, final prediction depends crucially on how to deal with infinity, okay? And then people argue, my cutoff is right, or the cutoff should be this way. You count the number of events, you cut off, okay? And then you was wrong, mine is correct. And the other guy say, oh, mine is correct, you was wrong. Because statement is the same, but they're disagreeing. And so it's just, okay, cut off. But to me, at this point, before even going what's the right thing, maybe effectively one of them is the right thing, but just to define the theory, define a physical theory in the sense that you can get the well defined answer. To define a theory, you have to put information beyond the principle of the general relativity and quantum mechanics. It's very uncomfortable. You have to put the general relativity principle and quantum mechanics plus the prescription, the explicit prescription of the cutoff. That define a theory, that determine what the physical prediction you get. It's very uncomfortable. Something must be wrong. And at this point, a couple of things I want to emphasize. First of all, I phrase the problem in the context of string, say, landscape or multiverse. Okay? But the problem is much more generic, because suppose you have a two minimum. One of them is metastable. Okay? And this is enough to get this problem, because the things happen infinitely many times. In this ambient space, the bubble nucleate, and many events happen and repeat, already enough. To get the problem. Okay? You don't need any 10 to the 1,000 vacuum or something. It's a very, very robust problem. Also, to get this problem, metastability of this is important, but that said, the vacuum energy of this eternal infrared minimum could be much more than Planck to the fourth, where you usually think semi-classical gravity is good. Okay? And then semi-classical gravity calculation is all the good Weinberg calculation. Its inflation is unstoppable. Okay? If the decay rate is slow enough, bubble doesn't percolate, inflation does not end, that's enough to get the problem. Has nothing to do with the quantum gravity in the usual sense, but I will argue quantum mechanics is important, of course, but in the usual sense, you think semi-classical calculation is good, you don't need a multiverse to hit this problem, and it's already, this infinity is there. And also, even if you know, but you could say, oh, what's the initial state of the universe? Suppose even if you know the initial state is here, and even if you know the Hamiltonian decay rate of the vacuum and the potential, you hit the problem. Okay, that's something, the first of all, I want to address. Even if you know the initial state. Initial state is a different question, like what's the initial state of multiverse, which I have a time, I want to go to the one proposal to address this impact to the universe in the sense of universal quantum state, it's a static, but that's my proposal. But even before going there, even if you know the initial state, even if you know the dynamical Hamiltonian, you have a problem. Okay? You cannot define a probability. That's the first thing I want to take care of. Okay? So let's postulate initial state you know, and let's postulate Hamiltonian you know. Right? Okay. But all these pictures are so crucially based on the classical picture, like bubble nucleate and so on. But in fact, this is not the right picture. Immediately you see it's everything is a quantum mechanics because we are living in a quantum mechanical world. So let's think about in a quantum mechanical way that what this all means. In fact, it's not that different from usual scattering experiment, for example. Suppose you do E plus E minus scattering, okay, the experiment. And still, in many kind of lectures and so on, you say, okay, E plus E minus scattering experiment, then final state is sometimes EE, sometimes mu mu, sometimes jet, or sometimes tau tau states, sometimes mu mu states. Of course, that's not the case, because quantum mechanics, the Schrödinger equation is deterministic. If you have an initial state E plus E minus, certainly that state will evolve uniquely into unique final state, deterministically following a Schrödinger equation. Okay? In state E plus E minus becomes some unique final state, or some state, sorry, which if you expand that vector in Hilbert space, if you project onto the axis in Hilbert space, which has well-defined particle number, then you have a many component, EE, mu mu, which is a many term, tau tau, and jet, and so on. And because evolution is deterministic, you can even calculate the coefficients of V. That's called, of course, S matrix element, and the square is a probability, okay? That's it, okay? And the situation is not that different. Suppose you have a state representing eternally inflating Dos-Sitter state, you evolve it, and then deterministically, you have a unique state, where in one term, bubble nucleate here, the bubble nucleate, because bubble nucleation is a probabilistic process. Probabilistic process means that the state is superposition of all these different bubbles in different locations. And in one bubble, it's SU3 cross SU2 cross U1. Sometimes maybe different SU4 cross U1 bubble. Sometimes SU3 cross SU2 U1 with a different cosmological constant. And bubble. And you can calculate the coefficient if you know the Hamiltonian, which I'm assuming. And in square gives a probability, okay? The Born rule. You don't have any way to define your own probability. So, yeah? It should be like that. Yes. Exactly. So at this point, and then if this is it, why not this is the solution? That's it. No, I just hide it, of course, the problem. At this point, I'm not doing much because remember, the problem was that what's the equal time, right? Of course, depending on what's the equal time, then your answer changes. But to define a quantum state is defined on hypersurface, equal time. Okay, what this quantum state is, by just writing, by using this abstract notation, I just simply hide it. Okay, that's exactly right, so I'm not addressing that problem at all. Also, the problem with infinity, I'm not addressing either, because if the quantum state is defined in this surface, it's infinitely large space. Then you have infinitely many observers. Same problem, okay? So even in problem of infinity, I'm not taking care of at this point, okay? So I'm not taking care of infinity, I'm not taking care of arbitrariness at all. So the solution at this point is just rewriting the language from classical language to quantum language, but that's the right language, of course, because we're living in a quantum mechanical world. But so the solution to the problem should really write what this quantum state is in a system with gravity. Okay? So without that, of course, that should be the heart of the problem. At this point, it's rewriting, but of course, we needed rewriting, but it's just rewriting. All right? So now I will address these things and see how this issue will be resolved. And the postulate of my approach, of course, that's postulate, is that quantum mechanics is correct. From shortest distance scale to largest distance scale, like to discuss multiverse, I don't need to change quantum mechanics. That, of course, nobody can really prove. I mean, that's a postulate, okay? And no experimental sign other than that, but yes.
assumed that it was solved the problem of coincidence problem.
That part is the same as
why are you bringing
it? That part is just kind of anthropic. Suppose you have a many different universes or many different bubbles, then only if you are there you will measure it. that is just something called anthropy. By the way, anthropic principle, the name is wrong. Anthropic principle sounds like you added the principle. But it's not, right? Because if you have a many different region, a many different bubble, many different region, and then to ask the question, if you observe cosmological constant, what the value is the most likely value you will observe? To ask that question without conditioning on yourself is just simply logical error. You have to, of course, conditioning. If you are there, you measure it, what the value you observe. It's fine. Then, because otherwise you're not there. Okay, fine. So why I'm doing the quantum mechanics? So that part is good. So that I'm not addressing that. That part I'm assuming that it's multiverse is addressing. Okay? But once you take that picture of many, many things populating from eternal inflation, then you hit this infinity problem. So the probability is not defined. That's the part I'm trying to address. And my claim, which we'll see, the quantum mechanics play a crucial role. And then I postulate quantum mechanics is right. So you have to think all these processes, all these universe in this way. It's still incomplete, as I said. Okay, I'm not defining what the state is, really, but this way you have to see it. Yeah.
And I guess I'll see what you have to say today, but why start with the multiverse? Why not just start by trying to understand what happens in the internal consider space, which also you could argue has a measure problem. So if one could define what you mean by quantum states in that case.
That's a special case. But in that case, because eternal does it to space, according to what I go and many people suggested, like a holographic principle, so the finite dimensional system, what happened is it's summarization. It's a very special system. It's a finite system. And this is not. You see. Okay?
Sorry, so you agree that even in the first case, right? In the standard case, if there is no measurement involved, the choice of basis.
Exactly. So let me address that. Okay. Why I'm projecting the vectors into this particular basis, E plus E minus mu mu and tau tau. And that's a major thing. And then in fact that's behind some black hole confusion. I would say it's just a firewall and so on. The measurement. Okay. The measurement. Suppose you have a chair up plus chair down, and you are there. You don't need anything beyond the unitary usual evolution, because sometimes you say, oh, have to integrate out the coherence. That's all misconception. Okay? You have this state, then what happens? We know starting from this, if you evolve it, just unitary evolution operating in e to the minus iht, okay? Then what happens is that this chair cross, oh, you think it's chairs up and down. You think, well, chair is down. That's evolution because you have interaction. And your brain state will react. Okay? It's a physical process, okay? Nothing like a consciousness or something. Physical process is interaction. Your brain state or memory state synapse will just respond to the chair is up and the chair is down. And you can even write down in a note that chair was up or chair was down. And somebody can even read it. Oh, chair must have been up, the chair must be down. Namely, the information that chair is up or chair is down is enhanced. Amplified in the base. Okay? Why that doesn't happen in the base, for example? Why this state does not become up plus down, and you think, oh, chair is up plus down? You think it's a superposition? Why the base is up, it's not up plus down and up minus down? Why this amplification, namely measurement, measurement is amplification, okay, happens in this special basis, up and down, not up plus down or up minus down or cosine plus sign down and so on, because this interaction is special. The Hamiltonian is local. Okay? The very special form of interaction, because consistent with the quantum mechanics, most general, for example, 534 theory, is f function x, y, z, t, or z, w, sorry, phi x, phi y, phi z, phi w. Okay? That's the most general interaction. But in our nature, this function is non-zero. Only around x, y, z equal close to w, you can write down it to phi x to the fourth. It's a very, very, very special form. Okay? In fact, the true statement is you can take that kind of field basis that the Hamiltonian looks very special form. Therefore, if you interact, if you have these two systems interact, the basis of amplification of information is completely selected by this dynamics of this special form. Yeah? Interaction is local, so the configuration is so different. Then the effect of this term to this and the effect of that term to that is so different. And it's enhanced. So of course, the projection is, of course, assuming of course, you know that the Hamiltonian is local, then which basis your information is amplified? Oh, you think it's EE, you think it's mu mu, you write down in archive, and it was the result was EE, you thought it was mu mu. That's the basis of amplification. And in this context, the different configuration is, so, is of course, because it's a local, different classical configuration is, of course, certainly the right basis to project, to discuss the prediction. Prediction. And comparison with the experiment is possible only if information is amplified, okay? Because otherwise you cannot check it. And as I argue, just review, the quantum, full quantum information cannot be copied. Only thing it can be copied is the limited information, that the classical information, chair was up or down, okay? So this particular projection is already putting it, that's the basis of information amplification. Because of locality. Okay? So now let's think about what's the quantum state in a system with gravity. And it's a great thing to discuss quantum mechanics in a system with gravity. The great starting point is to think about black hole. Because that's a kind of like a canonical a laboratory for the gravitational system. And let's just start from like the 70s, like Hawking's information loss and thing, and then what the things, what was the issue. So of course in the 70s, Hawking argued, okay, suppose you have a black hole, this is the horizon, you send in some object like book A, that will be absorbed into the horizon, and later become as a Hawking radiation. Fine. Now think about the different book B, but with the same mass, and you send in the book B into the horizon, then absorbed into the black hole. And because the mass was the same, the black hole is the same mass. And in the semi-classical picture, of course, you have a no-Hare theorem, so it's the same black hole. So final state Hawking radiation is the same. So information is lost. Who cares? Information lost? We care because this, of course, never happened in the history of the physics. If you know the state, you can always solve the equation backward in time. Either Schrödinger equation or Newtonian equation, if you know exactly know the state, you must be able to recover the initial state, what was the initial state. In this case, it's not. In principle, of course, completely identical Hawking radiation. And even if you know the current quantum state exactly, then you cannot reproduce what was the initial state. Okay? Of course, in a technical term, the unitarity is lost. But of course, as you all know, that's not what we think now. Okay? And because, well, for example, suggested or motivated by ABS CFT, because you can do this process in ABS fog, and you can map it to CFT. CFT is unitary theory. So we think that if you send in different information or different books, and then the final, so that information will be absorbed into the horizon. Horizon stores the information for a while, because the horizon has entropy. Entropy means the different number of possible configurations. And then later, Hawking radiation from A and Hawking radiation from B is just a bit different. But if you ask only the spectrum, it's the same, it's a black body. But for example, entanglement between the different photons and so on, all these quantum mechanical information, quantum mechanical correlations are different. So if you exactly know the quantum state, then you put that into the Schrödinger equation and solve backwards, then probably become either A or B. Okay? That's what we do. So that in that sense, okay, it's not identical, by the way, but in that sense, it's not that different from just a literally just burning book, as many people say, the book B and book A and book B, you burn it, the final state of both the airs and ashes and so on, it looks same. But if you know the entire location of molecules and the velocities, and sort of backwards in time in classical equation, and then you recover either book A or book B. Yeah? So simply the Hawking's calculation was not fine-grained enough to see all this information. Okay? So fine. At that point, black hole is a very conventional object, and And just simply burning the information, not killing the information, it's burning information, it's scrambling. Yep?
What happens if you throw both A and B into the black hole at the same time?
So say it again.
What happens if you throw both A and B into the black hole at the same time?
Oh, that's just different process.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are assuming that essentially the, all the quantum information is in the quantum radiation.
Yes. Because I'm posturing, of course, unitarity and so on.
I agree right. That's the standard picture, but I'm not sure except for another. Because you have the interior of the black hole.
Yes, okay, great.
And
yeah.
In the universe, that will.
Yes.
If there's information there, then.
Yeah, that's where I'm next goal. So at this point, it looks like very conservative. It's just information is scrambled into Hawking radiation, fine. But the interesting thing about the gravity happens, if you see the same process, identical physical process, from falling in point of view, you're falling in with the book A, then equivalence principles tells you that you don't have a gravity except for tidal force, which is weak for big black hole, I'm assuming big black hole. So the information that book was A will be inside, right? Of course, inside the horizon, because you were falling with the book A, and then almost no gravity because of the really falling. And then your information will be inside. Similarly, if you do the book B, the information will be inside. But now, I just argue that if you stay outside, information will be at the horizon, okay, because it's time to A in the horizon, and then coming back as a Hawking radiation, information will be outside at late time or on the horizon. Which one is correct? One just uses the unitarity, the other is just equivalence principle, you are falling. Is that information inside or outside? Namely, is that inside information enough to recover initial state, or outside information is enough to recover initial state? And you think it can't be both, okay? Well, you immediately see it can't be both because in quantum mechanics, the entire information cannot be copied. Because if you copy the state, you measure position in one state and you measure momentum in the other state, you can violate uncertainty principle, or you can do Jx and Jz, okay? So quantum state cannot be copied. You can even show that in a simple way. It's contradict. Simple principle of superposition principle. Okay. Suppose you have a copy machine which can copy a spin up. You send in a copy machine S. Okay. The spin up is copied into up. And suppose that copy machine copies into down. Then, if you send in the up plus down states to that copy machine, superposition principle says up plus down, right? Because it's a superposition. But if you want to copy the state, what you want to get is up plus down whole squared. It's not, okay? So just lose the interference down. Therefore, whole information, including interference time and all these information cannot be copied. Therefore, of course, classicalization happens, of course, because amplification of information, as we discussed before, chair was up and down. Only classical information is amplified. You can check with the experimental data, not whole quantum state. Okay? So that violates the point principle. But which one? Of course, something you're falling with A, entire quantum information will be inside. And if you're outside, then entire information, if it's unitary, will be Hawking radiation. It's well, copying. Well,
Hawking radiation is not a pure state. I mean, outside. Maybe all the information is inside.
No, it's just, okay, so but the one thing, it's a complementarity to Hawking's asking, is that it's interesting because this is similar mistake what we did in a special relativity. What you can really do, suppose you're falling into the black hole with the book, you can never access Hawking radiation. You can never, because you already fall into. And if you're staying outside, you cannot access something inside. Okay? So if you are outside, so the answer is that, which is correct? Both are correct. Both are correct, but not at the same time. If you're staying outside, the picture is just that. Okay? You have a black hole. The things are absorbing the horizon, coming back out of Hawking radiation, period, right? Period. That's it. That's the only thing you can access, even in principle. And then if you're falling into, your information will be inside. No Hawking radiation, you can never access. You don't have to include that in your theory. That's it. Yeah? Yeah?
Well,
So the second scenario, have people actually shown that an infilling, that free falling detector doesn't click, for example?
Doesn't what?
Is that something you expect from the equivalence principle?
Yeah, equivalence principle, and you can calculate in a semi-classical picture, and then
what you have calculated in the semi-classical picture.
Oh yeah, at least in a late Hawking radiation, you cannot access. Of course, you can do some little bit of more calculation. Like, suppose you get some bit of Hawking radiation, and then jump into later, whether you can catch up the already falling in things, then you can copy the information. But in fact, you cannot do. The similar calculation I gave for those situations, as I will mention. Okay? So that kind of consistency check can be done. Of course, proving that is a different question, and it's not that easy.
So, I mean, I think maybe what point Jim was making was, the simple way to solve is just black hole never evaporates. Just everything is there's some remnant, a baby universe. Or
that's another possibility to keep unitary.
Yeah.
But then of course that violates other holographic principles, something or usual things like you can have tremendous amount of information in very small region, right? Because you can have many different ways to form black hole from chair, from desk, or from blue book, or red book, and all these information will be at the remnant. Then, of course, you have to have 10 to the 10 to the 10 to the 1,000 the different black holes at the end. So, information should come out as Hawking radiation if you want to avoid that. Okay, and that has its own huge problems. That's called remnant scenario. Yes. Okay. So that's already. It's going back to these things. So what's the quantum state? So if you think about the black hole, this is the usual Penrose diagram, and this is a black hole horizon. This is a singularity. This is inside the black hole. Okay, that's usually what the Penrose diagram you see, because this region is horizon, because any signal hit the singularity without going to future infinity. Okay. But if you throw in the book A, okay, book A will be inside, and the same information will be in Hawking radiation. So if you slice the timeline slice like that at late time, some information will be copied. So this is not the way you have to define quantum state. Okay? So that will have a contradiction with quantum mechanics and locality, by the way. If theory is non-local, probably why string theory will cure this disease is probably string is an extended object. So in these slices, of course, relative acceleration is huge, so string will be stretched. So something you think it's independent is actually not independent and so on. But then you have to do the non-local theory. So if you want to keep locality, namely if you want to have a slice in which Hamiltonian looks local, which is crucial to develop our intuition, then you have to do the Kramer slice, including both Hawking radiation and internal space-time is double counting. Either, if you stay outside, yes, Hawking radiation is true, but you cannot access the internal space-time. In fact, internal space-time does not exist at all. It's not like you cannot access, but still there. No, you should not include in the description of the state. So the state should be limited to your side of the horizon. Okay? So if you're outside, the quantum state represents this region. And I can define it, it's more like a quantum state. The simplest way to do that is a quantum state is defined on the past light cone of the reference point. Then you are, of course, addressing only the information which you can actually access. That's a kind of null quantization. That's the simplest way to implement that. But the zero solar at this point, you have to limit your quantum state to represent the space-time region in your side of the horizon. Okay, so if you have a black hole, only outside space-time is something you...
So how does that not modify quantum mechanics? In quantum mechanics, states are defined on the space-time surfaces, space-time copper surfaces. Here you are saying you're defined on past light cones.
Yeah, null quantization. Of course, you can have a space-like as well. But to see the causal structure, the null is the simplest way. But it's the same as a null quantization in QCD. Yeah,
I'm
just
not familiar with that, but I mean, I don't see why a surface cannot cross the horizon.
Cannot cross the horizon because for here, and here.
No, that's for the light cone.
Yeah, light cone is fine. On the space time case, then your state should represent this space time region and on the horizon, period. You have to do that.
So that's in addition, that's not the standard quantum mechanics. So
it's quantum mechanics with a boundary. Yeah.
Quantum mechanics with
a
boundary.
Yeah. It's quantum mechanics itself is a standard. Space-time picture is not standard because you have to cut.
But the difference is that horizon is a classical thing, but if you want to do quantum gravity.
Exactly. So what's a horizon? It seems to be so classical concept because horizon, I of course come to it. Okay? So anyway, and at this point, the simple thing is that this Dositu is the same thing. Now in the black hole case, you are outside, the region is outside. In Dositu, inside out, you have a horizon. So your quantum state represents the configuration inside the horizon and on the horizon. So if something goes outside, the horizon remembers it and it spits out. It's like a black hole, like a book is absorbed and then coming back later. Okay? So your quantum state of this sigma, for example, represents the region within the horizon and on the horizon. That's it. But then, of course, you say, what's the multiverse? Because I said that the multiverse is many bubbles outside the horizon. What this global space-time picture comes from? Some probability, because you start from some eternal Yosef inflating state, then probabilistically some SU3 cross SU2 cross U1 bubble form, some 4-1 bubble form, some SU5 bubble form, or sometimes not yet decaying, and many things. And each term represents the configuration within the horizon only, but this term has a different horizon, and this state represents the configuration in the horizon only, and this term represents the configuration within the horizon only, but the entire thing is a superposition, of course. Okay? So of course, for the entire state, the horizon cannot be defined because it's already superposition of different classical geometry, different horizon each time. So each time, of course, represents the configuration within the horizon. Entire thing is a superposition. Yeah? In fact, this structure is not that different from usual Fock space construction in quantum field theory. Okay? So in usual Fock space construction, what you're doing is, for example, two particle state, EE, mu mu, tau tau, blah, 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 and three particle state, EEE, mu mu mu, blah, 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 and then four particle state, and pi particle state. Okay? But the entire physical space is, of course, direct somewhere. So even if you start from one of the element of the H2, two particle state, if you evolve it, it will become three particle, even superposition of two particles, three particles, and many things. Same here, I construct in the same way. Suppose you fix the semi-classical geometry, actually the boundary. I don't have time to really go to the precise formulation. It's just a boundary. You fix the semi-classical geometry. The correspondence state is there. Okay? The number of states is a famous area of the boundary over four. Okay? That's the internal space and then cross boundary term. And you have a different geometry. And then you correspond to different set of states corresponding to that semi-classical geometry. Their horizon is well defined. In fact, defining horizon, if you are an expert, is the following way. If you send in the past light rays toward the past, then that light ray is initially expanding. And at some point, that expansion becomes turn around and become a contraction. That's the point it's called apparent horizon. There you have to cut the state. And that apparent horizon agrees with the Dositu horizon. And black hole horizon in special cases, but you can define locally. You don't have to have an event horizon because then you have to know the future. This is a locally defined horizon. Yeah.
So, can you be more explicit about what kind of states we're talking about? Or are we talking about fluctuations around a fixed background? Or
fluctuation is included, so that's why it's boundary theory. With a fixed boundary, this M is a configuration with a fixed boundary in the sense that this boundary horizon, apparent horizon, is isomorphic. And all these fluctuations is included in this e to the a over 4 different. And in fact, that's a covariant entropy conjecture, the bound. It's the same thing, covariant entropy conjecture. This is fixed boundary. The amount of a state you can have, including fluctuation, is bounded by e to the a over 4.
I mean, don't we know from the black hole example that you just showed us that the kind of theory we're looking for is intrinsically non-local? So I don't understand how that's
How
that's going to come out of a system that's constructed of quantum fields, which is explicitly local.
No, the point is that if you do this kind of something called this slice, it's called nice slice, slicing both outside and internal space, then it's non-local. But the supposal is if you do this new slice, you limit only within the horizon, then the Hamiltonian can be local. That's it. That's the point. So this is, you have a special slice, new slice bounded by horizon, where the theory is local. Of course, the proving really from, say, string theory is a difficult thing. But at least so far, there is no contradiction by thinking that way. I can even show some toy calculation. But to answer your question, what I'm saying, at least, is that.
So the analogy you're drawing is you want to trace over all of the states living outside of the horizon, and that's going to give you...
That is encoded on the horizon. So it's totally unitary. Your state for fixed boundary, this piece, is as HM in the bulk cross HM the horizon for given M. And for different M, HM prime bulk cross HM prime horizon. Okay? And you have many things, entire possible, of course, semi-classical configuration or different boundaries, and then entire Hilbert spaces, of course, direct sum, because quorum gravity allows hopping, Dossiter decays into Minkowski, and so on. The same thing, starting from one of the state of the eternal Dossiter space, and then it becomes Minkowski and Dossiter and anti-Dossiter and decays, and it becomes superposition. It's almost identical. Okay?
In the
Hilbert
space, there's a direct Feynman formalism, pathological formalism. You need to know the initial Feynman state, and then you have all the possible weighted paths. And you have to, if you have the initial state in this universe,
mm-hmm.
Your bubble, how am I ever going to determine the final state of another universe?
You can do the same Lagrangian formalism, but if you do the Hamiltonian formalism, you have initial state and evolution.
Well, even the Hamiltonian formalism.
In gravity, of course, you know that the time translation is gauge invariance, and then you really have to go to the static thing. But let me just, because I start thinking that.
Everett the third parallel universes. You can't apply that to the multiverse picture because it's a measurement problem. You have to be able to collapse whether you have it at the end.
Let me go to the Indian how to.
Interpret this in the multiverse.
Yeah, how to really go to the probability using Born rule, of course, that way. But I have to set up the structure of the Hilbert space, of course, to even discuss that. That's still what I'm doing, okay? And so we are, okay, of course. And then, of course, in a quantum field theory on a fixed background, of course, what many, like, string people or some people are studying is, of course, it's just thinking about the dynamics in this fixed background. That's fine if you change the Hamiltonian or Hopping. That's like non-relativistic quantum mechanics, like a particle number fixed. Then of course you can study the dynamics here, but the full Hamiltonian of course allows hopping between all these terms. Full Hilbert space is the exception of those. But you can also include this like intrinsically quantum mechanical singularity states, but I won't go into that.
Sorry, I just need to say one more thing. So even just pick one of these subsectors. If your states are really just the Fock space for the fluctuations around the fixed background.
Yeah.
We already know from the black hole case that that's not the complete picture. I mean, like, you know, the probably the best understanding of what we have about what quantum gravity tells us about black hole evaporation comes from ADS-CFT. And the states on the boundary are totally non-local. I mean, they have nothing to do with local particle states in the bulk. So I don't understand how that, even for a single fixed background, you can, how does that encapsulate the right features? I mean, that would be the basic features.
No, if you stay within the horizon at low energy, of course, around the Planck scale, of course, everything is non-local, Planck density, of course, sure. But it's a long distance non-locality is not there in this way of size. That's the only thing I'm saying, of course. Yeah, intrinsically, a Planck scale non-locality is always there. Okay, now, but at this point, you could even ask the horizon. I say the horizon. For example, let's think about the Dossiter horizon. But horizon with respect to whom? Okay? You may ask that the horizon, of course, horizon is not the entire concept of the entire Hilbert space, as I said. It's a fixed background, it's horizon, and then these degrees of freedom represent the configuration within the horizon. But horizon from whom? If you think about Dossiter state, if you have an origin, and then you have a horizon, that's true, okay? But you have to fix the origin, because if you change this, horizon is this, what horizon are you talking about? Yeah? But you have to fix the origin, or local Lorentz coordinate, to define a horizon, because horizon, to me, it's a locally defined, like sending past light rays, and when the right rays turn around and then become contraction, that's the horizon. You have to fix the tip of the cone origin. But you may think this is totally violating general relativity because, of course, you fixed the origin. What's the origin? Okay, are you talking about the center of the universe? No. This is actually not a violating general covariance, actually a consequence of general covariance. Because, you know, we're doing a Hamiltonian quantum mechanics, Sunday. To do Hamiltonian quantum mechanics, you have to fix gauge. We know from our childhood days, okay? It's just to do the QED, you have to fix the gauge, otherwise you are overcounting, okay? You have to fix gauge. Gauge redundancy. What's the gauge redundancy for theory with gravity? Coordinate transformation. To describe the Hamiltonian quantum mechanics, you have to fix the coordinate transformation. You have to elect local Lorentz frame and describe everything from that local Lorentz frame. Okay? And then the state in that reference frame or that gauge represent the configuration in this region. You can fix different gauge too. Okay? Then, of course, in this gauge, something at local horizon looks like space-time. Something looks like space-time in one gauge become horizon. And in fact, this, you may think its degrees of freedom doesn't match, like volume, something it's encoded in volume become a horizon, but that's exactly the holographic principle. You can calculate and define that way using covariant entropy conjecture, something you can map from horizon to bulk and bulk to horizon is one-to-one match in degrees of freedom. Yeah? And this is the same for black hole thing. You erect a local Lorentz frame, and local Lorentz frame, the stays, local Lorentz frame origin stays outside. Okay? But if you do the boost transformation at Orion, then the description is that, okay, book is absorbed into horizon, and then it becomes outside Hawking radiation at late times. Now you change the reference frame to boost in such a way that your star is coming in, and your reference frame is internal black hole late times. Okay? Then something look like a horizon and Hawking radiation must look like a space-time degrees of freedom. That's, again, the degrees of freedom matches.
There's something wrong with this because I think this description misses like that top corner of the causal diagram. Right?
No. This is like
exactly.
this.
You cannot go there, right? Because
and here, so you have to have a state which like an intrinsically stringy state which corresponds to singularity. That's a state which does not allow the space-time interpretation. You have to have that kind of state. The dimension of that is
so local quantum mechanics breaks down there for those.
Yeah. It's become intrinsically Planckian curvature. But that's still quantum state. So you have to have that kind of quantum state. Okay? And the mapping is like this. And in fact, this transformation, like a set of transformations, boost, why the description is so different? Because it's relatively accelerated. Of course, this is freely falling, this is staying. It's a huge relative the acceleration of the different description at late times. But you can take formally the limit that the G Newton goes to zero, then this transformation even just reduced to the Poincaré transformation because now R mu nu equals G Newton T mu nu. So even if you have energy momentum tensor, if G Newton goes to zero, no curvature, no acceleration, so this set of transformation reduced to really Poincaré. Yeah? So what's happening here is so you have this set of transformation. And if you send G Newton goes to zero, this difference frame change transformation reduces the Poincaré. Very analogous to the fact that if you send to the C goes to infinity, then it leads to Galilei. And in Galilei, if you change the difference frame, the description changes. But changes are mild, like all the velocity shift constant match. But the description changing, but it's very mild. But now you turn on the fundamental parameter of nature C, from infinity to finite, describe the same identical phenomenon from just different reference frame. The length changes, Lorentz contraction, the time duration changes, and concept of simultaneousness changes. Same system, okay? You just change the reference frame, description looks different, but you have a one-to-one mapping. And now if you turn on G Newton to be finite, then the space-time, what we call the space-time, you just change the reference frame, become horizon and Hawking radiation. It just becomes even more relative. Yeah? So keep running that to describe the same system. Same system from different reference frame. Things just looks different. Yeah, more and more and more looks different as you turn on more fundamental parameters in nature. Okay? So this global space-time texture at this point is a total fake. Okay? Now if you think about the Dossiter state, and you have, say, it's observable, yes, fine. But your state each time corresponds to just a limited region. It's true if you change the reference frame, you have another observer. But you lose this observer because your different reference frame is just this. And if you change the reference frame, yes, you have another observer. So if you're patching all these different views, you may think you have infinite space and infinite observer and so on. It's a fake. It's a mixing up the different reference frame description totally. So it's like really analogous to the fact that you have a 10 centimeter pencil, you do the boost, looks like 9 centimeters. You do the boost, it looks 8 centimeters. You do the boost, it looks 7 centimeters. By that, you claim this pencil is at the same time 10 centimeters and 9 centimeters, 9.5 and 8 and the 7.2. Doesn't make any sense. You fix the reference frame, you describe it 77. Different reference frame may look 9, but 9 is 9. You have to describe that. So in fixed reference frame, you just have this finite, and you just calculate it. You have an initial state, you evolve it, dynamic or unitary, and then evolve it. You use the Bohm rule in the following way. Suppose you know that this configuration, and I'm standing in a perimeter, somebody is seeing that. I know that, given that, what's the probability of seeing superparticle mass in what range, or what range, or what range? So in all these terms, say C1, C2, C3, C8, and some of the term, 1, 3, 8 is consistent with this configuration. Given that, what's the probability of superparticle mass less than TED? Suppose in this term, superparticle mass is 500, this is 800, this is 1200. Then the probability of superparticle mass to be less than 1 TED, given that I know this configuration, is, of course, this term satisfies that condition, this configuration, C8. C1 squared plus C3 squared, that is the configuration. Given that I know A, like I'm sitting in this configuration, and you are sitting in that configuration, I'm standing it, given that, what's the relative, given the condition, conditional probability of having superparticle less than TeV? Okay? Superparticle mass beyond TeV is something, this, C8 squared, namely, it's just Bohm rule. Given that you know A, what's the condition? Given A, what's the probability of A and B? You project onto the state that satisfy your specified physical configuration A. You project out and square the coefficient. Given that, A and B. It's just finite. Okay? You can ask, given that this configuration, I'm sitting here and you're then, I'm just throwing it. And then what's the superparticle mass, what's the electron mass? Then you can answer by using those B. Then that's called multiples. Okay, probability of in that bubble, or in that bubble. But I can ask similarly, what would be the location of the chalk after I did that? The same formula, Bohm rule. Then it's called quantum many walls of Everett. Just the difference of the question you're asking, you always have to ask, given a state, state is just simply branching. You have some Dossiter state, and then you bubble nucleation, different universes, different electron mass, and in these different electron mass, different outcome, different result of this politics, blah, 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 blah. And then it's just branching. You ask, given you know, what would be the probability of something you don't know, you do the Bohm rule, you select the state, probability, that's it. If the question you're asking is a terrestrial size scale question, then it's called quantum many world or Everett or whatever. And if your question is about just a global property, namely something reasonably smooth, like it's electron mass or something, then just simply call multiples. No difference, absolutely same concept. Yeah? And the formula is the same. Mathematical formulation is identical. Okay? The reason why that's a finite answer is the state is not infinite. It's a fake. This global space-time picture is a fake because, as you know from the black hole case, including all space internal and outside and so on, it's double counting. It's not there. Okay? That's the emergent concept. That's probably a good time to, because it's this. I could, like, what I did in the 5 minutes or something, but that's the thing, okay? So now at this point, given the initial state, and suppose you know Hamiltonian, because of identification of Hilbert space was kind of wrong, like if you do the global space time, that's wrong. No, if you just carefully define quantum state, you get the just the bone ruling out. Yeah.
So in the black hole case, you argued that from the no Kronig theorem that we should only consider like
outside. Yeah.
Is there such a quantum mechanical argument?
Dossiter, yeah. Dossiter, for example, you can do even a kind of non-trivial check. I kind of skipped like all mathematical or something, so it looks like just one. But you can do some math, okay? For example, I just skipped it. It's interesting, for example, suppose you think about the Dossiter, okay? And this is Dossiter space, this is the horizon, because no outside, you know, this is a reference point P, because you always have to edit the reference point, okay? So now this is the outside horizon. You may think about the following process. Okay, now from your description, some travelers, A, goes outside your horizon. But in one picture, I'm saying that, okay, the traveler is absorbed into the horizon, and you can recover the information from Gibbons Hawking radiation. Okay, Dossiter space has analogous Gibbons Hawking radiation from horizon. So you could ask, okay, it's true, it's unitary, theory is unitary, so you can recover the information from Gibbons Hawking radiation. But now, this guy, after passing a mathematical horizon, then you send the information that the information I have is A. It's true, at this point, it doesn't reach you, so it's consistent. You recover the information from Hawking radiation, Gibbons Hawking radiation from horizon, but you may tunnel into the Minkowski vacuum, like inflation. So after inflation, you tunnel into Minkowski, then you can get the signal from outside, direct signal. So if you could recover the information from Gibbons Hawking radiation, and after that it's tunneling it, and you get direct information, then information copying. Everything I'm saying is crap. Yeah? And it seems like this is possible, right? You get the information and then tunneling it and then get it.
That's what happens in inflation in the early universe, right?
I mean, yeah, inflation in the universe, yeah, you're getting this, yeah, you're getting this. But
the question ends.
Exactly, yes, exactly. So, but then you can ask, exactly. But then you can, yeah, but you can then ask, what's the time you need to recover any single bit of information from Hawking radiation? You use a fast scramble condition, and then you can see the time you need to even extract one bit of information from Hawking radiation, the time you need is H inverse log H inverse. And then if you wait that much and recover information, and then you tunnel it, way too late, okay? In this diagram, it becomes small. And the only information you can get in that case is some information it sent within the Planck time. But in a Planck time, you know from holographic principle that you can get only up to one bit of information. So either you get the information from Hawking, but then it's too late to get anything, or in our inflation case, you tunnel it early, and you get a lot of information from that, okay? But then if your tunneling is too early that you cannot get any information before tunneling from Hawking radiation. And in fact, that boundary is exactly like either. Okay, H inverse log H exactly corresponds to T Planck. So either you get the Hawking radiation, but you cannot get direct information, or you want to get the direct information, you tunnel early, but you cannot get it from Hawking radiation. It's just very prohibited, it's suggested. Yeah? It's just a consistency check, of course, far from the proof, but yeah, Dossiter, you can do something like this as well. Yeah?
So for the black hole case, there's an ADS-CFT
correspondence that gives you this. Yeah, but that's, of course, it's not proof. From ADS-CFT, that must be the case. Of course, these calculations must be done case by case. It's done by Hayden Breskill and so on. Yeah, in the black hole case, namely corresponding black hole cases, you get the information from Hawking radiation and jump into, and whether you can catch up direct A, then you can have a copying, but you cannot. If you get the Hawking radiation, then it's too late to catch up. Okay? So it's really, really cleverly like information copying is prohibited. So if you limit the quantum state in this way, then it's totally fine as far as the check is done. So, okay, at this point, this is the thing. So it's this major problem in the sense that even if you know the initial state, even if you know the dynamical Hamiltonian, probability is not defined. That part is just this. The key point is the Hilbert space is much smaller, in a sense smaller than you thought, because the Hilbert space vector does not represent outside state. As viewed from reference frame, you have to fix the reference frame because that's gauge fixing, okay? And the entire Hilbert space is a direct sum of that. And in that direct sum space, and then the evolution is unitary. Okay? And then the final question is, what's the initial state? Okay, this is a kind of one period. Okay? And then I probably wrap up in 5 minutes or something what I did and study proposal. Yeah? Now, if you have really the initial state of the multiverse, you can calculate the probability fine. Okay? As long as you know the Hamiltonian, which is assumption. Okay? You have to solve probability string theory to get the form of potential or landscape that okay, 100 years. But what's the initial state? You may think this may be something physics can go. Because in any Newtonian equation or Schrodinger equation, the situation is even if you know the dynamical law, and even if you know the form of the force, maybe that corresponds to Hamiltonian, force or Hamiltonian, you always needed the experimental input for the initial condition to predict something. Yeah? You have a law, but you need initial condition from an experiment. You have a Newton equation, but you need the velocity of this chalk, and then you can predict it. That's what the physics can do. That's the only thing physics can do. You might think that way. But in this context, it's very, very, very uncomfortable. Because how to determine a quantum state, including yourself? You can never do that, in principle. Because the measurement is, of course, is entanglement. So this entire state is a superposition of the SU3 cross SU2 cross U universe, and 4-1 universe, or 5-1 universe, but you are in SU3 cross SU2 universe. You know that because you are entangled with this 3-2-1 term. But why you know that you don't have 4-1 piece and 5-1 piece and so on? The impossible, experimentally determined state, including yourself, is impossible in quantum mechanics. Okay? It's obvious because you are entangled. Suppose you have E plus E minus scattering in an EE mu mu tau tau superposition. Suppose you measure tau tau. You know you measure tau tau, but the fact you measure tau tau is you are entangled with the tau tau piece. You don't have any information of relative phase between EE and ZZ and ZZZ. Okay? So you cannot do this. So unless your theory has input about the selection of the state, you cannot really have a top-down prediction. And one possibility is, of course, creation from nothing or something. So really you have a beginning, deep beginning. Then you can do the calculation. That's possibility. Okay? You have a deep beginning, deep initial condition, then true. But that's also, I cannot exclude this, but that's also a bit uncomfortable because you have a violation of quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics allows, if you have a state, you can forward in time or backwards in time, you can solve it. But by definition, you cannot solve backwards in time. This is deep beginning. Unitary quantum mechanics is violated. There, despite the fact quantum mechanics is super hyper good in the rater, deep beginning is just broken. Or extension quantum mechanics, you can say, because if the time goes to I tau, but of course it's not unitary, but it's, you have extension, you can say, but at least in conventional sense, quantum mechanics is violated there. So if you don't want to do that, that's logical possibility. If you don't want to do that, then what? And then I propose that this in the end may be just that. That's, of course, it's known as a Euler-Dwight equation. So its state itself is stationary, or static even. Okay? D star dt is zero. Of course, it's a way to do it. It's done in the case of closed universe. But usually in open universe or infinite universe, you didn't do that. The reason is, of course, the reason why string theory is calculating S matrix. Because if that were the case, state is independent with the time. So initial state is always same as the final state. If that were the case, what's S matrix? What's string theory is calculating? Because the initial state is the same as the final state. S matrix is unity. But string theory is calculating S matrix element. What's happening? Is that the string theory, the fundamental theory of nature? So if you have to divide out by all gauge invariance include time translation. If you divide out time translation, Dirac's formulation says that you have to divide out by time. Yeah, true. Then state is time independent. Then, of course, what this guy is doing. The reason is it's infinite space. It's Minkowski space. Therefore, the Hamiltonian contains, of course, bulk piece plus the surface piece, ADM surface mass term. And this gauge invariance, local gauge invariance, of course, says that if you apply to the state, this piece is zero. But this piece can be non-zero. It's infinitely far away surface term. So if you apply E to the minus IHT to state, you can have E to the IE1P psi 1. You can have a term. You may think it's still stationary, nothing happened, but no. Once this is allowed, you can prepare the psi 2 state with the eigenvalue E2, then you can have a superposition, then things can happen. That's what the string S matrix element is doing. Yeah? Despite the fact this is a gauge invariance, the time translation is gauge invariance, you have an infinite faraway boundary, therefore you can have a surface term there, and you can have a state. But now I argue that despite it looks infinite, in those sort of states, your state is actually finite. You have a horizon, you have to cut the state, so you really have to go there. Then, of course, the question is, the state itself is static. The two questions, how that can be possible? Because you may think if you start from Dosito state, you always decay. Dosito state is always metastable. You decay into Minkowski or you have ABS. How you can have a static state in that? And then the two questions is, we observe time evolve, of course, how that will show up. Of course, that second part is not that different from how you're doing. It's a correlation between, but I can. So that's the thing you have to address. And the first point is interesting. So the state being static means a following. So you have a state. You have a, if you expand in a basis which has a well-defined semi-classical configuration, you have Big Bang, the bubble corresponds to Big Bang, you have a galaxy forms, and you have U. And you wait enough, you may have a Boltzmann brand, but you have some many state. So now, if you apply e to the minus IHT, each term is not, of course, eigenstate, because if you apply e to the minus IHT to BBN universe, then of course galaxy forms and evolve it. But the entire state being static means that all these probability current is balancing. And state itself is static. How that can be possible? I probably have to wrap up. And then if you have this, and then you can have a static state if the following things happen. Suppose Dosito decays into Minkowski. At semi-classical level, Minkowski can never decay back to Dosito. You can't have, of course, inverse process. But it's an exponentially suppressed process can put back you. Suppose you have a, suppose, this is an example, suppose you decays into, say, singularity or Minkowski, then reheating happens, inflation happens, reheating happens. The photon configuration must be very, can be very special in exactly the bubble wall coming back to you to put back to the Dosito to make it static. You never see that in semi-classical thing, because semi-classical thing decays into, then it's dissipating into those in Minkowski or singularity, totally dissipating into unstable system. But very fine-tuned state can, of course, allow the solution to be this. It's very analogous to the hydrogen atom impact. Always quantum mechanics. Suppose you think about hydrogen atom in classical way, you have proton and electron, it's synchrotron radiation, okay? Unstable. The system doesn't exist. The quantum mechanics is not a correction to classical picture. No, classical mechanics, you don't have a hydrogen atom. You have this classical instability, photon emitting, and photon coming from infinity, it's exponentially suppressed process in classical picture, but these are balancing. That is a special state solution of H type or E psi. Those are finely tuned measure zero set of, or even discrete orbit, is a solution of quantization condition. That special state is a state which are realized in nature. Here, quantization condition is from coming from gauge cost class constraint, it's H psi equals zero. Your solution is very special. You miss that if you think in the semi-classical way, then you have even theorem that the inflation must have a beginning, you always have a dilution. It's true, you have an instability, yeah? You're not seeing the right state, and you cannot see that in a classical picture. If you have a quantization, you have to solve it, then the solution should be that. If that solution respects the time emerging in our universe depends on the form of the Hamiltonian, which is an open question, but if the Hamiltonian form is in such a way that the probability current is always coming to low entropy state in our universe, then it's evolving before, say, Boltzmann brand dominates, namely some thermal crap happens, it decays into other universe. If that's the case, you always see the time evolving effectively. You don't have any crap memory of the Boltzmann brand and so on. Okay? Despite the fact the state itself is static, state itself does not depend on T, you have a correlation of the events in such a way that you interpret the time evolving. Of course, that's not that different from what you're doing. But you can just do that. And you have to do that. Then you don't have any issue of initial condition of state, because state is static, you just solve it, H psi equals zero. Okay? So I probably stop it here, and then the thing is just thinking this kind of problem, the probability and so on, you just learn the structure about quantum gravity and Hilbert space. That's much more restrictive than you might naively think, and the global space-time picture is actually kind of fake. State represents only limited region. You're doing that, then you can calculate the probability in the same way as a many world and the multiverse. It's just identical. I think that's it. And blackboard, I didn't have time, but if you're interested, we can chat about, say, firewall. Blah, blah, blah.
You mentioned in the beginning the kind of problem and saying that using different colors you get different answers. Then afterwards you argued that the global space amplitude is fake, and then because of the need to fix a gauge, you choose some reference frame. But how can you justify that choosing different reference frames you will get the same probability answer for the problem?
Yeah. In fact, this was the motivation of even static to have this. Then you can impose a condition that h psi equal to it. If you require that, namely the, your state, entire static, that's a very good question. In fact, that was something I was missing in the first two papers, I guess. And then if you require this state to be even the eigenstate or even divided up by gauge of the global difference frame change boost and time, and that's this state, in fact. Therefore, given that, no matter what reference frame you choose, your answer is always same because you also divided by global space translation, the global boost, and global time translation. So it's at that point, it's literally that ambiguity is gone. And it kind of must, because it's a gauge, it's global translation is part of that gauge with the constant translation parameters. So it must be the case.
Well, I was trying to find out what's new in your description, because I mean I think that first thing you're saying is that your polyethylene needs to stay outside horizon, so everything remains classical, and that's kind of that makes sense. As long as everything remains classical or semi-classical, then everything is local.
And what's a Hilbert space structure? Of course, this is building on complementarity. And the holography,
yeah,
it's true,
true.
It's building on it. But then the Hilbert space structure is not like this global slice. For example, if you do like a passing integral formulation, then you may think, okay, all these gauges or something is taken care of, like Hawking's way of doing. It's a path integral, because you can do the equivalent thing in path integral. But then you're not dividing out outside the horizon. You're dividing out by general covariance, namely local thing.
Yeah.
But your state's still involving outside the horizon. That's the source of infinity. And then, so you have to divide that. To divide that, I believe that's kind of mere quantum gravitational effect, namely string theory or something. Huge redundancy is there because you have massive spin two, string excitation. Those correspond to its own gauge redundancies. If you divide it by that, namely if you do the full string path integral, then maybe or must be equivalent.
No, okay, but, so that's fine. And I agree with that.
Okay.
The thing that I have trouble with is that, I mean, what's the prediction? I mean, that was the crisis of predictivity.
Yeah, but the thing is that...
What is prediction?
The thing is, of course, that the framework to even make a prediction was mocking, right, before. So, of course, first point is to set up Hilbert space structure. Once you have that Hilbert space structure, then you can do the prediction following this. But, of course, if you want to do the arbitrary prediction, like a superparticle mass or detail, and this is common to everybody. I'm not saying that I also get rid of all these problems. You have to know the Hamiltonian. That's a big problem. String theory, then what about
the
vacuum
structure?
Yeah. Cosmological constant is the only chance, because you can assume that all these issues, other than how observer shows up, is kind of averaged out. You know the Weinberg's argument. Even if you have a priori distribution of rho lambda and the probability, have some distribution, your interest only 10 to the minus 120, the small region. So a priori, like what's the probability of having a SU3 cross SU2 cross U1 bubble with a different value?
It requires that probability distribution to be a smooth around zero. And I guess that would be the...
Oh, yeah, that should be. Because otherwise, from the beginning, cosmological constant problem is not there. If zero is special, then you can use like electron mass is small, it's a chiral symmetry. The whole point of cosmological constant problem is zero is not special. Right.
But my point is, can you predict that probability?
Yes, and then given that assumption, of course, you need that. Given that assumption, I can just follow this, and I calculate the cosmological constant. Of course, you have to model U, because it's truly what you're saying. If you observe cosmological constant, what's the value? You have to model U by number of baryons and something. It's the same as everybody. Then what I get was something like that. Okay, it's like this is a raw observed. it's 10 to 100 times bigger because the criterion of U is rough.
So is your result like
same as Weinberg.
To one of the measures?
Very same as Weinberg, but the other measures, say for example, causal patch or something, I don't know, you know, or some measure, if geometric cutoff, then because it's a geometry, you have a huge bias to ADS. Because if it's ADS, ADS is a famous, like you have some BAT and so on, you have Eschers. ADS has a huge like observers in the boundary. So if you cut and count the observers, and all these, not all, but it's many, like say causal path, for example, have a probability distribution like 99.99% negative. And observation is positive. And at least I don't have that bias. And in fact, that was kind of satisfying because I didn't devise the measure to take care of that issue. Later, I just calculated, and I didn't see that bias.
Let's go ahead and thank Gus and Arya again. We're running into lunch here. We could obviously continue discussions after this, but thank you.
All right.